relative. I have a weird uncle like that. You know you do. Everybody does, right? And if you don't have one, that's probably you, right? You're probably the weird uncle. Got to tell the truth, right? So God bless you guys. Well, let's welcome our first-time guest. We're so honored that you would be here this morning. And I'll be either here or there, but make sure that we say hello to each other. I just met John walking in. He's one of our, just Jesus sent him to our church, and thank God for John visiting. I won't point him out, but you're more than welcome, and we're glad that you're here today. Amen. A couple of things you want to do is just check in on your social media today. I was able to do that earlier in between services. Maybe you can do that. You're taking a selfie, some of you. It's going to be awesome. If you put a photo in there of yourself, I'll make a comment like, look at these beautiful people. Our living faith looks good or something like that. But if you don't, it's still okay. How about if I put a heart? Is that okay? A heart means I love you? Yeah? That means a lot, yeah. No, you don't want that. How about a like? How about a frown? How about a aha? No, we'll do something of faith, amen. We're living faith, church faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and go, amen. Let's welcome our Facebook Live audience. Let's go, come on, give it up for them. They're joining us, and we're so glad. Some of you coming from Florida, Georgia, just thank God we're increasing because of you, and make sure that you share the message not only here at Living Faith, but you can share it also on Facebook and multiply the message of Christ in Jesus, that he loves people and he loves your community today. Do you have your message notes? You're going to need them. Raise your hand high. If you don't have them, a couple of hands are up, and if a couple of men, women could help out with that, some of our mighty men, are you ready to do that? Thank you guys for moving and even getting some from the foyer. Keep your hands up and wave them at me, or wave them at the gentlemen when they walk in, or ladies if they're doing that too. Amen. A couple of things I need to tell you about that are real noteworthy. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. The Turkey Love outreach that you did to the community was so awesome and effective. Amen. You reached a lot of people. A lot of families were blessed because of your generosity. We were even able to bless even more people because of what you did. So let's hear it for all the helpers and all the people that... Here's the extent of why God's been so good to us. There are even people that are reaching back in that watch the Facebook Live, and they're sending finances in to cover expenses even. Isn't that incredible? Amen. They're seeing that, hey, this church is doing something to reach people, and we want to be part of that, so we're grateful to them. We're not trying to get more out of you. We're thankful that you're doing what you're doing, and little did we know by putting this on live internet that you would respond to it. We're also on YouTube, which we'll go there, and one day I'll explain that a little bit more. But God is doing some great things in our church, and we're thankful for it. Amen. The next thing I need to tell you about is the Spiritual Gifts by Jerry Stott. He's been here several times in our church. Well, he's going to go to the church off Shanefield Road, which is a great sister church, so to speak. I think it's called Roca Viva. Pastor Carlos Garzon is a great pastor there that preaches. That's his church. And he's doing a seminar there on Saturday, November 30th, I believe. It's from 9 to about 3, lunches included. There's a fee for it. You can register online on our Facebook page. Go back and search it out. See Linda for details. She'll give you all the details. Jerry's an excellent teacher, man of miracles of what he's done, and he's testified of that. You want to be part of that day, please sign up and let them know that you're coming. I think today is the deadline, but they're probably going to have a little bit more extension on that. You know how it goes with that. So let's go ahead and pursue that if you're interested in that, because that'll be a great day for Living Faith to join them in the name of Jesus. Right, everybody? Amen. So we're on El Camino, right? Any more announcements? We're through. The El Camino series is a journey that we're taking with Bible people that are on roads. They were significant. They didn't have cars, highways back then, but they had many dirt roads, and many of them walked horseback road. The Apostle Paul was knocked off his high horse, or Saul of Tarsus, and so forth. And so today, there's a man traveling on a road, and he's going to discover Jesus because of a witness. He's going south. And the Bible tells us that an angel told Philip to go south, and we'll learn about that. So we're all traveling down a road. I think the significant part is, how do you have life abundant as you travel through your journey in life? You don't want to have a minimized life. You want to have a significant life, and we want to look forward to that. So in John chapter 14, it's our text. And what's incredible about this, because I've been saying this so much, now I know John 14:6. I've memorized it. So memorizing the Bible is good, because at key points in your life, you're going to need to give the word. or you're going to need to say it to yourself. And so thank God for memorization. Repetition is good, right, everybody?
Yes.
So John 14, 6, the Passion Translation says this. Jesus explained, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father. They have to come through union with me through the Father. Amen. To know me is to know my Father too today. Like Father, like
Son.
And some of you guys have those sons that look just like you. You can tell he's a chip off the old block. Daughters that look the same thing as mama today. And so when Jesus said that he's the way, the truth, and the life, he was answering doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas said, how can we know where you're going? And then Jesus said, well, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. How many know salvation doesn't come through any other name but through the name of
Jesus?
Yeah, it doesn't come through Buddha, Muhammad, amen. All those guys were probably okay in their time, but thank God for the name of Jesus. That saves us, amen. That provides for us today. The context of the early church was persecution was breaking out in the book of Acts. It records it. Terrible things were being done to Christians as they followed Jesus. Well, whenever the devil throws a monkey or tries to get involved, it's like it backfires on him. Have you ever noticed that if you're really living for God? Like, man, God, I thought the whole thing was going to blow up, but God, I put it in your hands and God restored me. God made it even better. And that's the way the devil is. He's a loser, and he's a loser at his own tricks. And we need to renounce him for what he is, and that's just a copycat. He's a quitter. You persevere. You endure. You keep praying, and he will quit. Amen? Don't give up on God today. And so the early church doesn't stop. They keep preaching. They keep sharing. They keep going. And because of persecution being so hot in a city called Jerusalem, they spread out even more. They go to other cities, and they don't keep quiet. They start sharing Jesus in other cities. That's the way it's meant to be. That's what happens at Living Faith. When you hear the word, you're meant to go share it with your community of faith, wherever that might be, your cul-de-sac, your workplace. Don't just keep it here. Spread the love of God. Amen?
Amen.
So in Acts chapter 8, if you'll go there in your devices or go there in your on the screen with me, it'll be on the screen. The easy read version. I love this version for some reason. Amen. Give me a good amen. The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, the angel said, get ready. And God is saying to Living Faith, get ready. Amen. The angel's announcing it today. Amen. Because he has something for us to do. Go south. And when life goes south, there's a road that leads to Gaza, to Jerusalem. And the road goes through the desert. Amen. Well, why desert? Amen. Sometimes it's hard. Amen. It's not always the limelight that we get today. We go serve in the back places. And so Philip got ready and he went. And he got on El Camino, right? And the road that he saw was a man there from Ethiopia. And this man was a eunuch, an important official in the service of Candace. Now, that wasn't her name wasn't Candy. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
She just saw Candace like a Queen Elizabeth, and she was a queen. He was responsible for taking care of her money. That's a good thing. Yeah, amen. Yeah, would you like to take care of somebody else's money? You'd get a tip, maybe. Who knows, right? Give me 10% of it or 5%. How about 1% of it? Yeah, just take a little bit. And so this man had also gone to Jerusalem. This Ethiopian eunuch had also gone to worship. How many know what a eunuch is? Yeah, some of y'all. One guy does.
Yes.
If you don't know what a eunuch is, Howard Verial, who's a very smart man, will tell you what a eunuch is after church. Is that cool? Yeah. Hey, he'll tell you. Amen. And so I won't go off into that because first service we had to give them all to Linda. Amen. Howard, you got the helm now to teach the people the Bible. Amen. Ethiopia, this was an African man. And so you see a man that's a Jewish man crossing boundaries and cultures to reach another man that doesn't have the same color skin, same thought, same process, he likes Chick-fil-A, but this other guy might like Popeyes. Amen. I don't know what it was, but there was some boundary crossing. Are y'all with me today? Maybe he liked Bill Miller's. I don't know, but they were different, but yet he obeys God. God's not always going to put you with people that you like, that are like you. And that's what ministry is all about. You reach people that aren't like your culture. And if you're settled, well, I'm just going to keep reaching the people I like that are on my block or my way or that God doesn't do that. He wants you to out, that's what outreach and evangelism is all about. Reaching people out of your boundary, out of your comfort zone. Amen. We've all learned it. We need to go on. And it says that he's directed by an angel. That's pretty incredible. An angel. In Psalms 91, I love it when we have hard times in life that these angels cover us. The Bible says in Psalms 91 that the angels are going to protect us. And you know what I notice about angels in the Bible when they show up? They show up at direct assignments when God gives somebody something hard to do. And so don't expect an angel to show up in your life if you're not doing anything. If you're not moving, give me a good amen. Amen. You got to be doing something for the angels to be in charge of you, to cover you, to help you, to protect you on all sides. Well, they're not doing anything. They're sleeping all day. They're resting. Well, God needs to move. They're no threat. Give me a good amen. Amen. So I need angels. If I'm doing something, they're on assignment for my life. The Holy Spirit speaks to him. He's busy. He goes to a desert place, not a glamorous place. Amen. There was no pulpit there for him to preach from that is risen and elevated. Amen. There wasn't a sound system. Thank God we have all that. It was a desert. It was a lonely place. Amen. So God called him to do what he had to do. And that's Philip. And he's a great example for us. Verse 28, as the passage keeps reading. Now he was on his way home. This was the eunuch. And he was sitting on his chariot reading the book of Isaiah. How is that he got the book of Isaiah? Jewish people were the only ones to have God's word at that time, the Old Testament. But money speaks. So he's able to get a copy. I don't know how he got a copy, but he got a scroll and he's reading it. And he's laying down probably in that chariot. And they're taking him all the way back to Ethiopia. And the Spirit said to Philip, go to the chariot, stay near to it. And he went towards the chariot and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And Philip asked him, hey, do you understand what you're reading? I met this one pastor and this guy was reading the Bible where he's walking by and he wanted a witness opportunity or he wanted to kind of stir the man. And the man's reading the Bible and he walks by just to pick on him. And he goes, hey, do you really believe that stuff? And he walks by. Just to see if the guy, and the guy gets riled up because that's his faith, you know, reading the Bible. The Bible was just, the pastor was just testing him to see, hey, is this guy really going to be bold for Jesus? And he was. The man answered, how can I understand? I need to explain it. I need somebody to explain it to me. And he invited Philip to climb in and sit with him. So there's old Philip. He was walking. Now he's in the chariot. Isn't that cool? What a good thing, right, everybody? And the part of the scripture that he was reading was this, and it was on Isaiah. He was the sheep led to the butcher, like a lamb that makes no sound when the wool's being cut off. And he said nothing, and he was shamed, and all of his rights were taken away, and his life on earth had ended. And so there's no story about his descendants. And the official asked Philip, please tell me who the prophet's talking about. Is he talking about himself or about someone else? And Philip began to speak and notice his speech. And he started with the same scripture. And he told them the good news about Jesus. And so if you're going to gossip today, gossip about the good news. Can I hear a good amen?
Amen.
If you're going to talk about somebody, why not talk about Jesus, right, everybody?
Amen.
And Jesus loves it when you talk about him behind his back. Is that okay with everybody?
Amen.
And when they were traveling down the road, they came to some water, and the official said, apparently, he said, you must be baptized also to follow Christ. Amen. It doesn't save you, but it's an example. And the official said, look, here is the water. What is stopping me from being baptized, water baptized? And the official ordered the chariot to stop. And both Philip and the official went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. And when he was coming out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord, that might happen today, came and took Philip away. Amen. And the official saw nothing of him. And the official continued on his way, and he was very happy. Amen. Let's pray, because we sure do need God in our lives today, and I need his help. Would you pray for me? I'll pray for you. Father, I pause enough that that I need you today, Lord, and the church needs you in a greater way than ever before. We need to hear your words. We need to hear your instructions. And speak to your church today, Lord. Speak to me. And thank you, Father, for your hand upon us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hey, invite me over to Thanksgiving. I have short prayers. Give me a good amen. Food's getting all cold, right? You want that? Yeah. Philip was obedient. And he shared to an African Gentile on the way back to Ethiopia. Ethiopia at that time, from Jerusalem all the way back to Ethiopia, it was the end of the world. to them. The furthest point that they could go, over 400 miles of travel on a chariot. That's pretty rough, isn't it? Bumpy roads, no highway. That'd be from here to like Oklahoma. It's a long way to go, amen, by car. But can you imagine by chariot? And so this man is witnessed to because the obedience of Philip witnessed. Raise your hand. But how many have failed to witness to people? Yeah, we're all guilty of that. If you're not, maybe you're Jesus today. You're levitating. No wonder you can't sit down. Amen. You're levitating. Yeah. This morning, Philip shows us that you go your different direction, but maybe God has you there to witness to somebody. Amen. And he gives you that assignment. So he reaches a man that's different from his culture, and it's God that's involved in it. And so I believe the first principle that he does that we need to do as people of God at Living Faith today that the passage shows us is when life goes south, when you're meant to go south by God's direction, you got to keep listening because God's going to give instructions. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So God is speaking and it demands our attention. Great things happened to Philip from a deacon all the way from a preacher because he waited on people, helping widows, serving them, elected one of the deacons. And then he gets to be the mouthpiece of God because he's hearing from God. You never know where promotion might come to you because you're hearing from God today about what God's about to do in your life. God wants you to go to the next level so you're accomplishing what he has for you. Thank God for third grade, but you weren't meant to stay in third grade. Amen? Some of you went on to college. Some of you went on to get your doctor's, whatever it might be. Today, God wants you to graduate spiritually to the next levels. He doesn't want you to stop growing in God. Amen? What hindered you last year shouldn't hinder you this year because you're going forward in God. You're supposed to grow. Amen, everybody? So God speak. We must listen today. Amen? But remember, before you act, to listen to God. How many of you have done stuff without God's voice? It's not good, right, everybody? We listen to the Lord for instructions today. Years ago, I was putting back my lawnmower after I'd taken it apart, and it was great. I put everything back, but I had a couple of pieces that weren't lit. But I said, hey, it still starts. So I got it going. I was cutting the grass. But you know what happened was when I hit the switch to turn it off, it wouldn't shut off. I had to wait till the gas ran out, amen? And the neighbors hated me, like stayed on for an hour, right? And let's take it to the backyard so nobody hears it. But it had a clean gas tank after that. That's something positive. Give me a good amen. Amen. Listen to the Lord because you want instructions so you don't break down or you don't do the things. God brings instructions to our lives in a good way. There's a Thanksgiving psalm. This is probably the next most popular psalm next to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, this one's like up there in the top 10, amen, my playlist. How about yours today? In Psalms 116, you haven't had any fun all day, 10:30 service. Let's read this together. You read it in your passage today that you got. You read it with me out loud on three. One, two, three, go. I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my prayer for mercy. Sound good, Living Faith. You're doing good. I'm truly grateful to the Lord because he's done things for me that I just have to give him thanks for. Amen. Can we take a 10-second praise break, not because of Mario, but because of Jesus right now, and just say, thank you, Jesus. You died for me. You love me, Lord, no matter what today. And there are acts of worship just like that that you just continue to do because God has been better than good to you. Amen. God's been good to me. Amen. He's loved me. And so you love God and you continue to call upon him because he loves you so much. Now, love is always going to be one-sided in every relationship. That even happens on this earth. Who's married? Don't look at her that way. Amen. Just, yeah, you're married. Yeah. You know, someone's always going to display love a little bit more and pour it on. It's great when both do it, but you're human today. And you know you identify more with God on how God is when you love somebody more than that they love you. So next time you feel cheated, like, hey, she didn't scratch my back, I scratched her back. Or, you know, and you get involved in all that because that's not really of God, that's of the enemy. You can identify with God because God loves you more than you'll ever love him. It's getting quiet in this Baptist church. Come on. You're more like God by loving somebody more than they'll love you. That's how God is. And it keeps coming. That's how God's love is toward God. I'll never repay God on how much He loved me. How about you? So, but I can try, right? I can go for it. And so I can continue to call upon Him today. There's a beautiful psalm that I read today, and I put it in your passage today. And let me just do the warm-up act before we show you the scripture. In Psalms 32, at the very beginning, it says this, "Oh, for the joy of those whose rebellion is forgiven." That's Nava. Amen. "Whose sin is put out of sight. And yes, for what joy of those who the Lord records is clear of sin, and whose lives are living in complete honesty. And when I refused to confess my sin, I was weak and I was miserable and I groaned all day long, day and night. The hand of discipline of the Lord was heavy upon me today. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat." It says he finally collapsed. And David is journaling basically, because that's all Psalms in. He's writing these top 10 hit songs and he's writing them. And then all of a sudden the narrative shifts, and it's so incredible that God begins to speak to him. And I think when you journal and you write the thoughts of God down, and you whatever you might do, like keep a journal or a diary or whatever it might be, and you write prayers, there's somehow some way that God shows up back in the pen and he begins to speak to you like he did David. And look what he begins to tell David. He says that this in Psalms 32:8. The passage continues. David speaks and then he shuts up, because he pauses enough for God to speak to him, and he begins to listen to God. "I will instruct you, and I will teach you the way that you should go, and I will guide you with my..." Yeah, my eye. It's good to be guided by the eye of the Lord. I've been guided by my mama's eye when I was a kid. How about you? No travieso. You know, she wouldn't say it. She would just look at me like, and then I got married. Give me a good amen. And there's an eye that we get when we're married. Come on, husbands in this room today. You ain't all that in a bag of chips. Yeah. Yeah, you cow down. I heard somebody say they're a different culture, but we have all sorts of cultures at Living Faith Church, right? And so you get, and God wants you to, he wants to guide you with his eye, not with they gave me ojo. No, God wants to guide you with his eye, like. It's a loving eye, right? And he has eyes for you. And God, what would it be like if you were that tight with God, that God could just guide you with his eye? Amen? Amen. The contrast is an extra scripture. The scripture right below it is verse 9. And it says, "Don't be like the horse. Don't be like the mule that don't have any understanding. And they must be controlled by the bit and the bridle, or they will not come to you." And you're like dragging that horse. You're like dragging that bridle's in the mouth of a horse, and it hurts and it's painful. Will God do that? No, we do it to ourselves. Because God's loving kindness is so good. He wants to guide you with his eye. But sometimes we're forced, because of what we do, by removing the covering of God off our life, and we go our own way, and it becomes hard on us. In our workplace, it becomes hard on us. In our marriages, in our relationships, and God, in your life as a young person, God wants you to be covered today. Listen to the Lord. He's speaking to you today, that we're listening to him. And I believe that we get guided with the eye of the Lord today by listening to the voice of God. In the Old Testament, he spoke by his voice, divine revelation, speaking. God showed up. Old Testament, it was written in stone. The Ten Commandments were written, chiseled by God's finger, it said. And Moses brought those down to the people. It was written by circumstances in Gideon's life. Those that drink water like a dog, you choose those guys. I'm selecting those men to fight, the 300. Mary and Joseph were visited by angels and God spoke to them. How does God speak today? I believe he uses his voice still. But I believe there's two primary ways that God speaks, and there's nothing weird about these voices. And thank God one of them is the Bible, right? God is still speaking, but we take time to read the Bible. Recently, one of the brothers here, began to do this chain text, and they got it probably from these ladies that do it here at church, but they're sending scriptures to the men of faith, and the men of faith are replying back, and they're sending scriptures, and it's igniting. I thank God for that man's leadership, amen, because somebody had to do it. Give me a good amen. Amen. And you get into God's word, amen. Get a scripture, get a word in your life today. Take time to read God's word on a daily basis, and we're listening to God. The second one is the Spirit of God. God's Spirit, I believe, is here, very evident. Not because I showed up, not because you showed up, because two or three are gathered here in His name. Amen. And we're listening to the Lord, and so God is speaking, right? Yes. So God speaks in the local church. The Bible's open, we're reading the Word of God today. God reads in your private devotion, the Spirit of God is in your home today. You put a great YouTube video of worship, God is there, He's speaking today, amen? Thank God. And so, if these are the ways that God speaks to us, shouldn't I be tight with that? Shouldn't I be real close to that? Amen? And so the Spirit of God, I'm close to it. The Word of God, I'm close to it because I want to hear God's voice in my life so I can obey it. The second point is this. When life goes south, somebody say, keep moving. How many know it's hard? Deer hunters out there, it's hard to hit a moving target. You wait for the deer to stop. Amen. You put them in your scope. But if you're moving, amen, for God, amen, the enemy can't hit you. Give me a good amen. So some of y'all just keep moving. Give me a good amen. Yeah. And so the Lord leads, I move. When God speaks, I must obey. Listening is not enough. I got to move today. I got to do what God's told me to do. Philip teaches us a couple of truths about obedience and what complete obedience is. And obedience is exactly the way God said it should be. This is what you're supposed to do. And so partial obedience is still, delayed obedience is still disobedience. I'll do that when I, finally get my business off the ground. I'll do that on my birthday because on my birthday, I'm finally going to give up that habit. I'm going to do that at the beginning of the year. No, that's partial obedience. That's still disobedience. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that God's... Don't wait. Don't be that person. Move now for God. Now is the time. Well, I got to wait. No, you don't. That's selfishness because you still want to do your little pet sin and caress it and let it bite you every now and then. And then when are you going to learn to put it down and leave it? Amen. Because it's going to kill you. Next year, what will it be? Because you're going to go back to that habit. What is it going to be? Well, I'll do it during Thanksgiving next year, but I got a whole bunch of time. And you know you gave yourself leeway to sin today. Am I preaching too rough today? Because all I had was a granola bar. Maybe because I'm hungry. Maybe I'm mean right now for a reason right now. Amen? Obedience opens the great door for your life when you obey God. You want to leave that stuff so you gain God's goodness today. God will use you if you obey Him today. Amen. Don't miss out on your opportunity in this chance, this moment of favor right now for you to be used of God. Amen. Like never before. In Acts 17, 28 says this, for in Him we what? And move. Yeah, as some of the poets would even say, have that we are His offspring today. Do you know that we're spiritual beings? Yeah. You know, we look at our flesh, but if you stripped away this flesh, you stripped away the soul, you would be a spirit being, and that's what we're going to be in heaven today. You were made in the image of God, the likeness of God. That means God is within you today. If you're a Christian, a born believer, you have a tiger in your tank, so to speak. You have something within you that breeds life and wants it today. God didn't do that with a dog. Amen? As much as you think your dog is a Christian, give me a good amen. God didn't do that. Thank God He didn't do it with a cat. Amen for that, right, everybody? God did that within you so you could serve Him and God would be on this earth and God would work through your life today. So when you move, God moves. So if you're moving kind of slow, when you move, God. Yeah. But when you move, you got to help me out. You got to help this Baptist preacher out. So when you move, that fast, that quick. But if you're moving slow, amen, that's okay. But God's going to move kind of slow. So move, amen. Give me a good amen. Amen. And so we have all these plans in our lives. And we want to move this way. And God needs to direct our steps. You keep moving. Make sure that God. And so Proverbs 16:9. Hey, you haven't any. Have you read one yet? Yes, you. Second one you're going to read. Let's read it together on three. Are you there with me? Amen. Proverbs 16, 9 on 3. 1, 2, 3. Within your heart, you can make plans for your future. Yep. Lord, choose my steps. Let my guidance, God, guide me, Lord. Thank you, God, for your power today. Amen. Philip, when he begins to dialogue with this Ethiopian eunuch, he doesn't come like, I know everything and you don't, and I'm better than you because I eat Chick-fil-A sandwiches and you don't, and we're closed on Sunday and you should be closed. He doesn't come at him. Notice what he does. He asks him a question. He said, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch goes back and he says, you know what? I don't. How can I know unless somebody explains it to me? Do you see what he did there? What he did was ask him a question. And it was something about what he was doing. And so there are starting points that you evangelize because it's God's idea to evangelize. It's God's idea that you're the salt and light of the earth, that you would be genuinely interested in somebody and what they're doing. How long have you lived in San Antonio? What high school did you go to? How many know people love to talk about themselves? You know how I know that? Because you do, and I do. We all do. But why not get out of your comfort zone and begin to ask your neighbor, the cul-de-sac, or the person at HEB, or your workplace, hey, where did you graduate from? What high school did you go to? What college did you go to? And they begin to tell you their story. Hey, where did you learn to make such good tamales? Well, my mama taught me. And was your mom like, did she show you? Yeah, she showed me how to make them. And they tell you their story. And somewhere in there, when you're doing that, because you're genuinely interested in somebody, it'll show you that you love that person. Because love language speaks their language. And it will tell them, tell me about yourself. Amen. Are y'all with me this morning?
Yes.
See, there are pathways to get to somebody. And they're easy if we follow the Bible. The Bible says that we, how many can only eat one Lay's potato chip when you open up the bag? Because one is not enough, right? You keep eating them and you keep eating them because you're the salt of the earth. And so when people get around you, they're like, hey, it's good to be around this guy. It's good to be around this lady because she's salty in a good way. You whet their appetite for more. Amen. Words, your words should be salty. They should be tasty enough for them to reply back to you. Is that okay with everybody? And give them the taste of Jesus. Amen. The third and final point. Man, I'm going to let you out so early. It's going to be incredible today. See, aren't you glad you came to church? Hey, hit your neighbor and say, this guy's pretty good. He's ending early. If you didn't do it, I'm going to bring you up here. No, I'm just... That guy's not looking at anybody. He's just looking straight ahead. Amen. Third, when life goes south, somebody say, keep speaking. God leads, God tells us to move, and then we need to speak in that same way today. And the people of God are spoken to right now on how to speak to each other. Power and words are powerful. You recognize that. When somebody says, I love you, that's big time, isn't it? And they don't say it flippantly, but I love you. They look you in the eye. They say, man, that's big. That's huge, right? When somebody says, I forgive you, that's huge too. How about when somebody says, I hate you? It's like, you're not good enough. Ouch, right? It's not you, it's me. How many of you broke up with somebody? It's me, I know it's me, right? I remember our children, when they were younger, they were being disciplined. Probably both of them said it, but you know, they had that moment where they said, I hate you. I said, no, you don't. And I'm going to show you how much you're going to love me. You know, we don't say those words, because we took something away or they didn't get to do. They got upset like children, and I hate you. And words are so powerful. What if we say the words of God, and we say the words that God, as we move and have our being, that God would tell us, speak this word, say this word. Don't say that. That's not right to say, amen? And so the power of words, when the Bible says God said that one phrase, God said those two words, it's in the Bible like 10,000 times because God is speaking. And God is speaking because God is speaking. You need to speak what he's speaking today, right? Our language is okay, but when Jesus spoke, he raised the people from death. He calmed seas that were in hurricane state. He cast out evil spirits. Because he spoke the power of God today, right, everybody? And so when God speaks, we share his message today. And I note something that's very important today. It's our obligation to share the message of God, but not to share something weird or something that we share something that is not dreamed up or because we ate the pizza last night and had a dream. We share something that God's already said. And if it's in the Bible, it's a principle, and we can launch off into that and thank God for it. So Philip, when he shares his message, you know what? It's not all about him. You know what it's about? It's about a couple of really three things that are major. And these are extra notes for those that love God. They'll take extra notes. Our message should be really, it should be about, somebody shout him out, Jesus.
Jesus.
And should it be about?
Salvation.
And should be about?
The family of faith.
And he shares about Jesus, not about him and what he's done and this and that. But he shares, you can't go wrong if you're sharing about Jesus, right, everybody? We have faults, but Jesus doesn't, and he's perfect, and aim them towards Jesus. That's the best thing that you can do. And then salvation, because people are lost, and people still need Jesus. People still need the Lord. People are still looking for God in whatever aspect they are, and you're the voice. You're the salt of the earth today. And the family of faith, that's where he baptizes him. He says, you must be baptized to follow. That happens in a local church setting. You can be baptized, but usually a group of people. You don't want to baptize yourself, because not even Jesus was baptized in himself. He had John the Baptist, a community of faith. You need a community of faith when you invite people to church. When is the last time that you invited somebody to Living Faith? Invite them because they're going to hear the good news of Christ. They're going to hear the message of God today. A local church is the light of the world. It's the hope of the world. You are as God's people within this church today. But wherever there's a church, there's hope in a community. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
And so God wants us to share the good news. When he told his disciples at the end of his earthly life, before he ascended, the thing that was common that they took away when they wrote about him, taken away, they were dictating. What is he saying at the end? They're saying, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody. Don't let there be any borders, any circumstances. They're on the other side of the tracks. They're this way. No, we're going to reach everybody. And they did, and they obeyed. And that's why we're sitting in the chairs that we're sitting, because somebody obeyed. Someone told you about Christ. And how stingy would it be for you not to share that good news with somebody else? Amen. You must be about that today. The Bible says that I am not ashamed of the gospel. And the gospel, that because it is like power. And the power is dunamis. Greek word, which means our word dynamite. And so it literally is powerful enough to explode in somebody's life and to awaken them that God loves them. And God has a plan for their life, and they'll never forget you if you do that today. Amen?
Amen.
When is the last time that you shared Christ, Jesus, with somebody today? I pray that it's every week. When you wake up every morning and say, Lord, who can I share your word with? Who can I give hope to this day? Because people are dying and they're lost without Christ. That Ethiopian eunuch, man, when he woke up that morning and on his way back, we got to head back 400 miles plus back to Ethiopia from Jerusalem. He had no idea what was going to happen to his life except God. Two men, one was spoken by God and another was spoken by God. People are waking up all in your community of faith. They could be strangers. They could be students with you. They could be fellow workers with you. And they're waking up and they're needing hope. I pray that you intersect them and you're at their road on El Camino and you're saying, this is what Jesus is saying to your life today. How did the story end? Amen. I have a quick video for you. Let's look at what happened as he receives Christ on the road back to Ethiopia.
Look, water in the desert. Now what can stop me being baptized and taking the word of Jesus to the corners of the world?
Do you repent your sins?
I do. I do. I have looked past God. I have been proud and I have been conceited. I have been an ambassador for violence and hate.
That is past. What matters is who you now choose to be. Are you ready? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross and rose again on the third day? I do. Then in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I baptize you.
Isn't it amazing when you do get water baptized how you feel that joy? Those of you who've been water baptized, you feel that that old man is dying, that new man is rising, that old woman, amen, don't look at her that way, amen, that old is dying and the new is rising, amen. I think Philip, when they asked him to go to the desert by the Lord's direction, I would have said, I don't want to go. I don't want to go down a dusty road. But this guy had such an attitude, a good attitude about him, that he did it in spite of his feelings, his comfort zone. And Peter knew in that day, as an older man now writing the church, about attitudes that we would face here in America, probably, or God had it give us a great book called the New Testament today. In the First Peter letter, the epistle of Peter was written in there for us, because the early church certainly had some good days. 3,000 born again in one setting when Peter preached, that's a pretty good day, isn't it? Amen. You have to admit it, right? But another day they're burying Stephen because he's been stoned to death. That's kind of a tough day, isn't it? Getting challenged to leave your comfort zone, maybe not such a good day, but you leave it because you're obeying God. And so because persecution was terrible during that time of the early church, 1 Peter was written, 3:14. It says this, but you may suffer for doing right. And today, it's not so much about that they're killing you or throwing you into prison like they were them, but maybe they're talking about you behind your back because you're a Jesus follower. Or you won't listen to the dirty joke. You'll walk away. Not because you're good, because you don't want to hear that anymore. That's your old life, right? Maybe because you're not doing something on Friday nights that you used to do and you're not part of the boys anymore, but you're doing something right and they're talking about you and they're making fun of you behind your back. And that's what really persecution is right now in our country. It's not much of the other, but we can handle that, right? I think we can. And if that happens to you, you'll have God's blessing at your workplace because they're talking about you or they're doing something to ostracize you in your neighborhood. Don't be afraid of the people who make you suffer. Don't be worried. But look at what it says to do. Verse 15. But keep the love of Christ in your heart. Keep the Lord Jesus holy in your heart. That means you're not going to have a bad motive towards Him because God is not there. Always be ready to give everyone an answer to explain to you about the hope that you have. Hey, brother, come here. Why is it that because we all didn't get raises this year or get our Christmas bonuses, you're not all upset like we're upset about it? And you're going to tell them, you know what? Because God's my source. And I know I'm going to get blessed either way. Amen? Because they're going to come to you and ask you, why aren't you gossiping? Why aren't you talking about the boss? Why aren't you bad-mouthing the teacher if you're a student here today? It says, but the answer them in a gentle way with respect. Are y'all with me? Now, did I write this or did Peter write it? Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So don't get mad at me, get mad at Peter. Kick Peter when you get to heaven, amen? Peter, why did you have to write that? Keep your conscience clear. And then the people will see the good way that you live as followers of Christ. And those that say bad things about you will be ashamed of what they say. Amen? Love your enemy. Love them so much that they become your friend. Amen. Love the people that despise you. Amen. Just because we're Spirit-filled Christians doesn't mean that you're not going to have a bad day. You're going to have them according to the Word of God. Amen. But those high emotions of, man, we love Jesus. We're all up here. We're during the low emotions, continue to love God. Continue to walk with God. Give me a good amen. Yeah, today. Yeah. And so, follow what the Spirit is saying to you today. Amen. When the Ethiopian eunuch circled the corner, he saw a body of water that was because they were coming out of the desert. And you're coming out of your desert today, your dry places, because we're listening to the Lord. And he said, stop. There's water right there. Why can't I get baptized right now? Philip didn't even see it. He had this guy that had just been converted on a chariot to see it. He says, there's water. And today there's water at Living Faith Church. There's an act of obedience that you can do, just like this Ethiopian man. And I can't wait. I need to do it now. And God is persuading you to do that by His Holy Spirit today. I got you there, Pastor. I got you there, Preacher. You didn't get me. You know what? I didn't bring any clothes. Sure enough, it's cold outside. I ain't going to go back in my car. Well, we love you enough at Living Faith Church that we brought towels. And we brought. Yeah, those are mine. Amen. Don't worry about those. Amen. Those are some. Brought towels. We brought a t-shirt for you that you can wear. We got shorts for you. And because we want you to be obedient to what God's telling. I don't want anything. The water's warm. Give me a good amen. It's been purified for your protection. Give me a good amen. Yeah, we're ready to baptize you. Your next step, if you're saved today, if you've never been water baptized, is to be obedient and to be water baptized today and walk in God today. The enemy will try to prevent you. Now put it off another day. This is a day of favor for you today. Let's follow the example of the Bible. Let's immediately get baptized today. Amen? If you haven't been water baptized today, I want you to, again, wake up with every opportunity. Let's be Phillips in this church today, that we can wake up and say, Lord, where is it? Show me where I can witness about your love today and show the love of God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, this is an incredible opportunity today that we have before the people of God. And we'll go to specific places and talk to specific people and assign us to do that. Every heart. Philip was a man that was part of a church, but he was a believer, a singular believer in that movement of God. And so today, would you speak to every heart today that they need to witness to their neighbor, that they need to have an act of kindness towards somebody in their school, their workplace, God. Thank you, Father, at the store. Thank you, Father. We proclaim the message of salvation more than we proclaim politics, what political party we're about. God, that's not what it's about today. It's about salvation today. And we thank you, God, that you're using the leaders of this church and you're using the congregants and the members of this church, God, to do the work of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, today. You're in this place and you're listening to the voice of God today. You want to move with the voice of God today. You want to speak the words of God. You're a Christian today. Would you lift your hand slightly above your lap today? You're a born-again believer. Yeah, that's you today. Just going to pray for you just for a moment. In the name of Jesus, would you bless these fellow believers, God, that were listening to you, hearing the voice of God, because we're using our primary two gifts, the Bible and the Spirit of God, to hear your voice today. And God, we're also asking now that we would move in the name of Jesus, that we would live in you and move in you today. We wouldn't move our own, and we would hear the instructions before we move today, what we're supposed to do. And Father, again, right now we would speak the very words of God, not our own agenda, but God's words today. We'll talk about myself. I want to talk about Jesus today. Thank you, Father. Be big in this place. Thank you. We make room for you in a greater way during the water baptism service today. Thank you, Father. I always want to give you an opportunity today. Not being water baptized, that doesn't save you today. What saves you is the blood of Jesus. And you renouncing your sin and you repenting and walking away from that past. And making God right now your present today. God's waiting on you today. How I do that at Living Faith is not to embarrass you, but I just ask that your hand is lifted today. Your hand is lifted high. That means you want to come to Christ. You want to say yes to the Lord. You're far away from God. If that's you, would you lift your hand slightly? If that's you in the building right now saying yes to the Lord, you're lifting your hand and saying yes to Christ. Yes, God bless you. You can put them down once you put them up. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Just making sure. About two or three hands were lifted right now. My brothers, you're already my brother. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, all the sinners that are saved by grace, you didn't lift your hand because you're a sinner that's saved by grace. That's me and you. Would you join those that have lifted their hand right now together on three? Heavenly Father, I lift my voice. Forgive me of my sins. I'm a wicked, shameful sinner. And I need Jesus to save me from my sins. Thank you for the forgiveness from the cross where Jesus bled and died for my sins and provided new life for me, a new beginning. My old ways have passed away. I follow Jesus now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. To God be the glory. Come on, celebrate new life at Living Faith. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you lifted your hand, would you tell me about that? You rededicated your life to Christ, that you came to Jesus today. If you have another prayer request, I'll take those, and we pray over those at our kitchen table. We pray for those every week, and we thank God for you. I can't read minds. Sometimes I can. That's interesting. Discernment. But most of the time, I need prayer requests, and they'll help me pray for you. Is that okay with everybody? Yes? Let me know if you have a prayer request. I'll be glad to pray for you today. Amen. Connect cards are in front of you today. Amen. The last couple of things I tell you, would you show me the final slide? When we get baptized, you literally make a public statement to the world that I'm following Jesus. We used to do baptisms on the outside because we had a smaller building and we didn't build a baptism tank. And as nice as it is, I still wish we were outside. Not today, but we would have did it during the summertime, of course. Yeah. Mama didn't raise a fool, right, everybody? So I ain't getting in that water. It's getting pneumonia, right? But during summertime, it was incredible to see all the people line up in this big trough. And it was beautiful, the expression of faith. And so Jesus told us to do just a few things, not a lot. But one of the few things he told us to do, he said, take communion. Yeah, take communion, my bread, my body. Yeah, the drink is my blood. Do that in remembrance of me. He told us to do that. And you know what else he told us to do? He told us to get water baptized. That's not a lot that our Savior asked us to do, right, everybody? And so if I was asked by Jesus that did everything for what he did for me by dying on the cross, by being bloodied and beaten, and all he asked me to do was like two or three things, and I didn't want to do it, I think Jesus would be kind of ticked at me, wouldn't you think? Now, he's not going to do that, but don't you think that he would? He said, look, I died for you, and I was bloodied and beaten and whipped, and all I'm asking you to do is be water baptized, and the water's warm today, and it's real nice in that church, and I don't want to do it. See, this is your moment of favor. Don't be ashamed of what God's doing, especially in a church, right, everybody? We're not outside on the street. We're in a church, even safer. Give me a good amen. And so I thank God that you'll be obedient in what God's doing right now in your life today. Amen. If you want to be water baptized again, there's no reason why you can't be. There's clothing for you. You can change and they'll do that. See Linda Ziegler. She'll give you further instructions. She's right here on the second row. Raise your hand high in case they don't know you. Linda, some people are visiting today. I want you to follow in obedience to Jesus and what Jesus would command us to do. Say it loud. Be baptized today. Amen. Amen and amen. Today we're going to receive our tithe and offering. Before we'll do that, before we water baptize people, you came ready to give in your tithe and offering. There are several ways to give. You can give 24/7 online. You can give by text to give. You can give by check or money order. You can give by check debit right outside. I believe that's fixed, right, guys? Yeah. Let's hold our tithe in our hands and let's go ahead and ask God to bless it. Would you hold, if you're giving by phone, hold that cell phone because you can text to give. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon our tithe and offering. Hey, Chuck, you haven't prayed in a while. Pray for the tithe and offering. I need some help. Amen. Pray that God would bless our people. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you that we had this time together. We thank you for a great message, Lord, and the opportunity to worship you and to stand in your presence, Lord. We ask that you would bless the tithe, bless the offering, bless the gift and the giver, Lord. Multiply it back to us so that we can see that you have proven yourself as you asked us to do. Lord, test me in this, you said. And we test you, Lord. We bring our full tithe and we bring our full offering to the baskets, Lord. And we want to see your works go further into the community, Lord. So we just bring everything that you've put on our heart to bring, Lord. We ask that you would bless it, not just for ourselves, but as the money is put into the baskets, Lord, that you would make it grow and that it would reach further and further, Lord, until everybody has the opportunity to hear your message and the good news of your works, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen and amen. God bless you. I want you to stand to your feet, worship God with me. And just a prayer instruction, just a little bit today. This will be a sanctuary when we're dismissed after the final song and we're coming to give our tithe and offering. What I really want to make it a sanctuary. Here's what happens. If you want to visit and it doesn't have anything to do without water baptism, we have a big foyer now. Stand out there, visit. I love you guys, but I want this to be that we're water baptizing people. If your loved ones are coming to be water baptized, please get near because of the way we built the stage. It wasn't built. Amen. We made some mistakes. Now you really can't see it from where you're sitting at. You're going to probably have to stand up here, and we allow you. Our wires will be moved, but just be safe with children especially, that they're not unsupervised, but they're supervised, especially by parents when they're up here on the platform today. Amen. So we'll do that today. Thank God for the sanctuary. Let's have water baptism at the conclusion of our song. Amen. God bless you as you worship God in your giving and as you worship God in your song today. God bless you. Amen.
For those of you who just got saved recently, that means you ain't got to go home, but you can't stay here. Come on, y'all. Y'all asleep. All right, we're going to wake up now. I want to clap a little louder than before. I want to sing a little louder than before. I want to jump a little higher than before. I want to shout a little louder than before. Shout it out, yeah, freedom. Sing a little louder than before. I want to spin a little wilder than before. I want to shout a little louder than before.